Welcome to the all-access version of the ProWrestling.net podcast. Today is Tuesday, March 9th. It was a long Monday night, but I thought it was a fun one. And I already reviewed the TNA Impact show exclusively for .net members. And I'm going to be going through the WWE Raw show here today. Before I do that, let me give you a quick plug for that .net members site. We had a ton of news going into the show yesterday regarding TNA. Had a list of most of the matches that took place on the show. Let you know that Beer Money was going to be turning heel, that Sting was going to be wrestling as it was listed backstage. TBD, which we assumed correctly was going to end up being Rob Van Dam on the show, and just a ton of news that didn't make it onto the ad-based version of the site. Got to give the members a little perk. And if you want the first look at all .net news, you want to hear all the audio, and you want to have access to the .net members forum on the ad-free version of the website, all you have to do is sign up. It's very simple. If you're listening on iTunes, head on over to ProWrestling.net, and you'll find the sign-up area right in the middle of the page. And the best part is it's only $5 a month. And with all this stuff going on with the Monday Night Battles and WrestleMania right around the corner, it's a great time to sign up for .net membership. Having said that, let's talk about this show. I'm going to be reading from Chris Shore's live coverage report. Chris filling in for the vacationing Rich Quilling last night, did a hell of a job, as he always does. So if you want to follow along with me, you just look for Chris's report in the WWE TV report section at .net. As I said, the show was, I think I said, it was live from Portland, Oregon last night. We opened things up with Undertaker, and I really question, you know, WWE will deny endlessly that, you know, they did anything to counter TNA. I spoke with someone in the company yesterday who didn't believe that they announced that main event of John Cena versus Vince McMahon because of TNA. And then the news shortly thereafter came out that Undertaker was going to open the show, so I didn't get a chance to talk to this person about it. But, you know, very interesting that TNA has its first 5 minutes viral video campaign, and suddenly WWE is announcing what they're going to open their show with. So, you know, as people within WWE will admit, you know, there's Vince McMahon may or may not be paying much attention to this, but there are people within WWE who are paying attention to TNA. So I guess we can't prove it for sure, but I certainly believe that some of what you saw last night on Raw was influenced by TNA and their move to Monday nights. But it was a red-hot opening segment, in my opinion. I really enjoyed what they did with Undertaker and Shawn Michaels. I did the PW Torch livecast yesterday over at blogtalkradio.com, and one of the members of the chat room brought up an interesting point that, you know, when they announced that Taker was going to be opening the show, do they give his full ring introduction? Because, you know, TNA, for people who are paying attention to both, advertise something hot for the first 5 minutes, and do you really want to go with that really long Undertaker entrance? And I was kind of wondering if WWE would maybe, you know, join it in progress or even start with Taker in the ring, and they gave us the full entrance, and I don't know that what type of impact that'll have on the ratings, no pun intended, but interesting choice by WWE. But anyone who stuck around for it was in for a treat, because these two delivered in a big way. They did announce that it's going to be a no DQ. What was the exact stipulations now? I think it was no DQ and basically no count out, and the only way to win is pinfall or submission. You know, this seemed to be received well by most people, thinking this enhances the match. My guess is they're setting up outside interference. Maybe it's just the skeptical wrestling fan in me, but when I heard no count out, no DQ, I kind of had a different reaction than most people. I was just like, you know. But I guess the thing I have to remind myself is that even if it is no count out, no DQ, they could have just as easily booked some sort of outside interference and worked around the, you know, ref bump or something like that. So I don't know that this changes a whole lot. I guess we're not going to find out much until the actual match itself. But I just didn't have that, all right, this is great reaction that I think a lot of people seem to. But I was really blown away by the mic work here. And it was nothing, You know, I mean, it wasn't like these guys were, reading Shakespeare or anything. It was just good, no nonsense. I'm going to beat you and retire you, or I'm just back and forth, that kind of stuff, and very simple and very effective. And I thought both guys did a really nice job here, and it was a hell of a way to open up the Raw show. And for me, it was the highlight of the Raw show, hands down. The second segment was a Divas match. Kelly, Eve Torres, and Gail Kim beating Maryse, Katie Lee, and Alicia Fox in about 3 minutes. This was about Eve hitting her new move. She kind of stands on the top rope and then turns it into an armbar. She did this on Maryse, the women's champion. So clearly they're setting up Eve versus Maryse for at some point. Eve has improved. Eve also threw one of the worst clotheslines I've ever seen in my life last night during that match. The Divas got a little bit more time than usual here. It was okay. It's not like they're bringing back any memories of what the TNA Knockouts division used to be with what they did here. But this was okay. You know, it didn't. I can't say that it really stuck with me coming out of the show. But we've certainly seen worse from the Divas. At least they were in their ring attire. I'm sure some of you are like, no, I like the pajama stuff, but I'm all for just taking a more serious approach with the women's division. I think the pajama stuff and some of the campiness and the 1 minute matches that we get is really played out, and I really think it's time for WWE to kind of overhaul that. Guest host Chris Angel was backstage with Hornswoggle. The celebrity whore Bella Twins showed up and wanted to be the celebrity whores again, but he said that he doesn't use twins. And they asked for a demonstration, so he pulled a piece of string off of one of their outfits, and then he ate the string, kind of put it down his throat, and then pulled it out of his eye. And this was, I never want to see this again. I don't know if this was one of those things where you watch it and you can't take your eyes off it, or if it was you immediately reach for the remote control and hope that there's something better on Impact. Chris Angel, boy, I didn't care for the backstage stuff. This one was, if you can get over the grossness factor of it, so be it. The rest, I don't know. I'll get to the rest of my thoughts on Angel as we go through some of these segments. But we got a video package with Morrison and Truth earning their title shot, and then The Miz and Big Show made their entrance, and Miz was cutting a promo on his way to the ring, and that continued once he got there. Really strong promo from The Miz. Again, nothing, it wasn't like he broke new ground here, but it was just a really well-delivered promo. And he was, just kind of mocking the fact that there isn't enough talent to have a real tag team in WWE, and which he and Big Show are. This led to Morrison and R-Truth coming out. This was billed as a WrestleMania preview match, and I'm like, ooh. But this was very effective. Miz and Big Show ended up beating them or fighting them to some kind of a no contest. I don't know if there's a DQ. I can't remember what they actually ruled here, if anything. But all it was Morrison and Truth beating the hell out of Miz and Big Show. And, again, sounds simple, but very effective. And I had zero interest in this as a WrestleMania match. I certainly enjoy The Miz, and John Morrison I think has a ton of talent. I don't think they found the right role for him yet, but they actually made me care about this match going into WrestleMania with just the little bit that they did. They made Morrison and Truth look strong, and they had some chemistry together. And obviously you've got that back history with Morrison and Miz that makes it a little more fun too. So I thought this was well done, very effective. It's one of those rare times when you're actually going to see a WrestleMania match featured on television before the actual show takes place. But, I was kind of like, wow, are they going to put this on now and then make this the dark match opener? We're not going to see this at WrestleMania, but now they did a good job here and made me want to see their match at Mania. It's not, don't get me wrong, I mean, I'm not going to be thinking about this and looking forward to it as much as Taker and Shawn or anything, but it went from being, oh, yeah, that's on the card, to, oh, that'll be fun. We got Josh Matthews interviewing John Cena, And he was talking to how Batista has his number, and he was going to go out there and beat him anyway. And Matthews asked Cena if he anticipated Batista getting involved in his match with Vince McMahon later, and Cena said that he's not only is he anticipating it, he's counting on it. We got Evan Bourne backstage with Chris Angel, and he was thanking him for putting him in a Money in the Bank qualifying match against William Regal. Regal and Skip Sheffield showed up, and Bourne made a joke about Regal wearing purple, and Sheffield asked Angel to do a trick. He had Regal write a number on a pad and then guess the number by reading Regal's reaction. Sheffield said that he had won his bet with Regal because he was a big fan of Chris Angel and believed in him. And the bet is that now Regal owes him a Travis Tritt CD. For some reason, that line cracked me up. Doesn't take much sometimes. But here's what I didn't like about the Chris Angel stuff. This is a pro wrestling show. We've seen Hornswoggle go walk through walls. We've seen DX go into, you know, the little people universe and all sorts of silliness backstage. So it doesn't really click with me when you have a magician backstage, even though he, you know, is a credible magician. According, I can't say I follow magicians all that closely, but given all the awards they were talking about, I mean, I've heard of this guy and know of him, but whatever. But it just, it's like he's doing all this backstage at a wrestling show, and this would have been more effective in front of the live crowd, but it just kind of felt like some of the stuff he was doing backstage, they could have had Santino do it, and we just would have assumed it was all part of the show. And so, I don't know, it didn't really do Chris Angel any favors, and it just kind of, the stuff bored me, because I never really bought into it. And I'm guessing it was, you know, as legit as what he would normally do. You know, I mean, it's magician stuff, so it's all illusion, but it just was kind of hard for me to suspend the disbelief, I guess, for his backstage stuff. So Chris Angel didn't do a ton for me, but I was stunned at the reaction he ended up getting when he walked out in front of the live crowd. We'll talk about that once we get there. Legacy came out for their match with Randy Orton. He jumped them as soon as they walked through the entrance area, but they ended up beating him in 11:47. Maybe it's just because I have no idea where they're going with this, and they're really not making me get excited about where they're going with this as far as WrestleMania is concerned. Randy got the babyface reaction. They were chanting his name when Legacy was working him over at one point. He was about to finish off Cody with the RKO when Ted got him from behind and hit the Dream Street move and ended up pinning Randy. And then good reaction by Ted. He really put over the win in a big way. He was fired up about it and everything else. But it's just like, you know, there's sometimes when you don't know where they're going with certain guys at Mania, but you're still excited about it. And you're like, you know, I can see some possibilities and this could be fun. I don't have those feelings with this. It's like, well, you just get to the damn match already. Whatever you're going to do, let's get this out of the way. Because, we'll see what they come up with. But, you know, they keep giving us Randy against Legacy in some fashion. And none of it really does much for me. We got Batista shown on the backstage monitor. Josh Matthews came in and asked what he thought about Cena saying he's counting on Batista to interfere. Batista said it proved how that he's in Cena's head, and he gave his word as WWE champion that he wouldn't get involved in this match. And he even took it one step further by asking Josh to wish John Cena the best of luck. And he said Cena needed the win to rebuild his confidence. We got a shot of Triple H backstage. And this is when they hyped Steve Austin, Stone Cold Steve Austin, as the guest host for next week's show. And it was the first time they did it. Little petty thing here, but maybe play the live crowd's reaction to that, because it was like they showed us the video and you're expecting just, you know, it just kind of seemed odd. You weren't getting this huge pop in the background when they did. We got it later, but just one little thing that kind of stood out at me. We got Triple H coming out. It felt fresh in a weird way to see him wearing his old leather coat and, you know, being the old Triple H, not the DX Triple H. And he cut a really good promo, about WrestleMania. Sheamus ended up coming out, and then, Hunter basically cut him off and set the WrestleMania tone by talking about how Sheamus has had this great year, but it could all be nothing if he ends up putting it all on the line and losing to him at Mania. And he talked about his own WrestleMania history and how the guys who have beat him have gone on to do great things. But then he said it's a very short list. He even looked back and I don't even recall who his first WrestleMania opponent was, but he was talking about how he was in the same position as Sheamus at one time and looked for the big dog to fight and ended up losing and then had to scratch and claw to get back to get higher up on the card. So I thought he did a really good job with that promo. Problem was, Sheamus kind of looked like a doofus just standing there listening to him. Then he kind of shied away, and then he went after Hunter, and it was, Hunter blocked it. And so it kind of made, the whole thing made Sheamus look kind of like a dope. And they ended up fighting to ringside and had this brawl, and the match is now official, according to the WWE website. We're going to be seeing Hunter versus Sheamus at Mania, not a big surprise there. So it was awkward. It was like Hunter did this really nice promo, but it didn't do anything for Sheamus. And these two really needed that WWE championship to make this feel like a special WrestleMania match. One of the better promos you'll hear from Hunter, but again, for people who are just like, well, he put the spotlight on himself and kind of big-footed Sheamus, I get that. I really do. But I did enjoy just the way he set that tone for WrestleMania. We got another Chris Angel sketch. Santino did the missing thumb bit and asked Angel if he had something better. And Chris Angel told Santino to put a sharp knife under a cup, and then he had three other cups just like it. And then they did the bit where didn't know which cup it was in, and he was feeling, and eventually he smashed three cups, and Santino was like nervous as hell about this, but Angel never cut his hand. So again, if this happens in the ring, maybe, I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool, but it's backstage at a wrestling show. It's impossible for me to really suspend my disbelief. And even if it were, just like I say, like anything else on a show, and whatever. We got an NXT commercial hyping David Otunga for what is now Tonight's Show. Then we got Christian and Heath Slater coming in and joining in on commentary for Evan Bourne beating William Regal in 1:28 quick match. But a good one while it lasted, but they got about as much as you can out of a 90-second match. Regal hit a really nice double underhook suplex for a two count, but eventually Evan ended up getting a little bit of help when Sheffield yelled something to Regal and then cheered. He charged at Bourne. Bourne hit a knee to the face on Regal and followed up with Air Bourne for the win. So Evan is in the Money in the Bank ladder match. This was a Money in the Bank qualifier, I believe. I'm pretty sure this was. I like it. Good to see Evan Bourne in that match. I dig William Regal, but for obvious reasons, I'd rather see Evan Bourne in Money in the Bank over William Regal any day of the week. Just not Regal style of match. We did get a Goldberg versus Lesnar recap match, because of Steve Austin. They had Steve Austin hitting them both with stunners. And it was interesting we saw Goldberg, because I actually thought of him earlier in the show when Triple H mentioned that Goldberg, or that Sheamus had arguably the best first year of any guy in the history of the business. And it was like, well, what about Goldberg? Didn't he win a bunch of matches in a row and win the WCW championship? I don't think we were supposed to think of that. But so how funny was it that we ended up seeing his something featuring Goldberg later in the show? We got Vince McMahon backstage heading toward the ring. Then we got the announcement that next week is going to be a WrestleMania flashback show with John Cena versus Big Show, HBK versus Jericho, and Hunter versus Orton, plus the official contract signing of Vince McMahon versus Bret Hart with Steve Austin presiding over that. And, of those three matches, Cena show doesn't do much for me. They keep advertising show for, occasional main events, and he just doesn't click with me as far as a main eventer, but HBK versus Jericho should be a lot of fun. And I'm very curious to see what they do with Hunter and Orton, given that they seem to be pushing Randy as a babyface. And I don't know where they're going to go with that one just yet, but Hunter is definitely a baby right now, and the crowd seems to be turning Randy Orton in that direction. So it's an intriguing matchup. And then I think with Vince and Brett and Steve Austin, that's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm guessing this is when they put the shaft to McMahon by once he signs the contract, and Brett stands up and reveals that he's not hurt after all, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if Steve Austin names himself the special referee of this match, I don't know that they're going in that direction, but again, if you want to get Austin on the show, I think really Brett versus Vince could use something like Steve Austin. It needs it at this point. But very interesting that WWE has gone from, you know, being lazy with promoting matches for the following week's show, just generally because it seems like they're booking on the fly, to suddenly they're giving you all sorts of matches that they're advertising, contract signings, and this one, in this case, it could be in response to TNA, but my guess is it's also that WWE is, has things mapped out for where they're going with WrestleMania, so they may not be booking on the fly as much as they normally are. So I'm not going to say this is a direct result of TNA going head-to-head, but I guess only they know, but I'll give them the benefit of the doubt on this one, where I won't on, announcing Undertaker was going to kick off the show, and they did that yesterday on their Twitter page. Then we got Chris Angel coming out to introduce the main event. I was stunned. I mean, there were all sorts of Chris Angel symbol signs in the crowd, and I don't think, WWE doesn't seem to pass out any signs for other guest hosts, so I don't know why they would for Chris Angel. And he got like a really nice reaction. I was surprised to see that. And I'm stunned that fans cared that much about Chris Angel, but I guess he's a lot more popular than I realized. Vince McMahon even put him over when he came out. Angel handled the introductions for the Vince versus John Cena match. And Vince referred to him at one point as like the greatest illusionist of our time or something like that. In the fifth match, actually before we got to that, Vince cut a promo on Brett, said he should enjoy this match as he's watching up in Calgary, which anytime Vince says that, and really it's wrestling, so anytime somebody says someone's not at the building, I know I can't be the only one that's just like, oh, they must be there. Well, not this time. But Vince said that despite them saying last week twice that this was going to be a one-on-one match, it was actually announced as a handicap gauntlet match, and he introduced his first partner, who was Vladimir Kozlov. This resulted in Vince McMahon beating John Cena in a no-DQ handicap gauntlet match in 11 minutes and 21 seconds. I'm down on them for the bait and switch, just because, but at the same time, it made it better. It certainly, the addition of these other guys allowed them to keep it going. Vince McMahon and John Cena out there. It also made Cena look tough because, he's getting just destroyed by all the various guys that came out to help Vince. But he kept kicking out. It was awkward though, because it was the strangest gauntlet match I've ever seen. It started with Kozlov attacking Cena and, then tagging in Vince and just leaving. So Vince couldn't pin him then, so another guy came out, and this time it was Drew McIntyre, and he beat on Cena, and then tagged in Vince, who went for the cover, and McIntyre left. Then Jack Swagger came out, and he went after Cena. Cena went for the attitude adjustment. Swagger reversed it into a neck breaker, hit a power slam, and two of his corner springboard splashes. Vince tagged in, covered, and Cena kicked out twice, and then Vince called out Mark Henry, and I think Swagger had also split. Why these guys would come out, do their thing, and then just leave is beyond me. I mean, it kept things going, but it was you really had to suspend your disbelief here. It's like, turn the brain off and don't ask questions, apparently, because it's really weird the way they went about this. What I did like is that Vince wanted Henry to hit Cena with the ring bell, but Henry actually stood up to Vince and wouldn't do it. And, it's like, it's kind of awkward because Henry's been a babyface. Is this some kind of bad heel turn? But no, he actually declined. And then Cena, or let's see here, what did happen after that? We had Henry tossing the bell away. That's when he turned and took a Batista spear. So Batista said he wouldn't get involved, even swore on his WWE title or whatever. Gave his word as WWE champion, that's what it was. But he's a filthy liar, a stinking liar. And Batista ended up kicking Henry from the ring and then turned to Cena. Kofi Kingston ran out. I'm like, what the hell's Kofi Kingston doing here? And he attacked Batista. He went up for the 10-punch spot in the corner where he's standing on the second rope. You could see it coming a mile away as he was a couple punches in. Batista turned it into a power bomb, and then Cena attacked and knocked Batista down. He went for the attitude adjustment on Vince, but ended up taking a spear from Batista. Batista power slammed Cena, and then Vince finally covered Cena and got the win. And the final image of the show was Batista standing over John Cena. Shore didn't like it. He said, "What a shame. McMahon had to go the Vinny Roo playbook and get a reverse go screw yourself gimmick match to close out what had been a pretty good, albeit wrestling lacking, show. Everyone expected Batista to get involved, so no surprise, especially when a face came out to help McMahon." I can't disagree with a lot of that. It was, like I said, it was awkward. I guess to me it beat the alternative of, and not by much, but it did beat the alternative of Vince, ducking away from Cena and avoiding contact, and Batista coming out for the quick DQ before Cena could really do anything to Vince. I kind of assumed that was the direction they were going in. They did a nice job of kind of teasing that, you know, Batista was going to get involved, and then leaving you wondering. Batista said he wasn't, and then, of course, he ended up doing it. It did make Cena look kind of tough for kicking out after taking all that punishment. But really flawed, awkward way to work this match. Oh, I'm going to come out and kick Cena's ass, and now I'll just leave. What? Really strange. So, yeah, I guess the Vinnie Roo playbook was in play, as Chris Shore wrote. But overall, you know, this was this show was solid. I agree with the let me get this up here. The current .net poll that we have going was a pretty simple one. We just asked which was the better show. Was it Raw or was it TNA Impact on Monday night? And at last check, as I wait for this to load here, Impact was had a comfortable lead over the Raw show. And sure enough, it's 59% right now said Impact entertained them more than Raw, and 33% said they were more entertained by Raw than Impact, and 7% took the easy way out and said it was a tie between the two shows. I won't take the easy way out. I was more entertained by Impact. I don't think anything on either show touched what Shawn and Taker did. They're just doing such a good job of really setting up their WrestleMania match to be something special. But I just overall, Impact stuck with me more. It's the funner show to dissect this morning. And you can look at all the obvious issues there. You know, here they are. You know, what did Abyss and AJ Styles get anything out of that main event? Now it's mostly about Hogan and Flair, and they cut away from Jeff Hardy doing the Swanton. There are a lot of issues that they're focusing on the older guys rather than really creating young stars. And there's a lot of things to dissect about the show, and I thought I did pointed out a lot of those issues in today's TNA Impact hit list. But putting all that aside, not looking at did they create new stars, did they make Rob Van Dam look weak on his first night, all those things, you put them aside, and if you just look at it strictly from which show entertained me more, I agree with the readers who feel that Impact was the more entertaining of the two shows for the 2 hours. Impact had no filler on the show. The X Division thing, I wouldn't call it filler. They were trying to kind of jumpstart that division. I don't think they really succeeded. But nothing on the really screamed as just, oh, they've got nothing. They're just trying to kill time here. Whereas WWE had a little bit of that last night. I don't think Chris Angel, despite the popularity he had with that live crowd, I don't think that he did them any favors. We'll see. You know, maybe I won't see the minute by minutes, I'm guessing. But yeah, I guess it wouldn't stun me if, people ended up sticking around to see some of that stuff. I don't know. It bored me. And like I said, I just couldn't suspend my disbelief for it because it was on a wrestling show. It's hard enough to when you're watching a regular magician. But believe me, it's not often that I see a magician. But when I do, I'm sitting there going, oh, how's he doing that? And in this case, I guess the thing I was doing was, whatever, it's a wrestling show, and I just couldn't get into it. So I just felt overall Impact was the more entertaining I also thought it has more flaws. WWE is doing a really nice job of building toward WrestleMania. And it's looking like a really loaded show so far. And I think it's going to be one of the better WrestleManias we've seen here in recent years. So they've got that going for them. But, Impact overall, I just think was the more newsworthy show because of some of the debut, the debut of Rob Van Dam and the return of Sting and Jeff Hardy. And like I say, just the more, there's more to talk about there. You know, there were some things on Raw that felt a little routine, whereas Impact, it's a lot, there's a lot to dissect and go over and things like that. But so those are my thoughts on the two shows. You can get a lot more of my thoughts on TNA Impact if you are a .NET member and you haven't had a chance to listen to my audio recap of that show. Here's the plan going forward. Once we get Rich back next Monday, assuming he gets back on time, and he better, then we are going to rotate shows on Monday night as far as how our live coverage goes. We are going to give .NET members audio recaps right after the shows. So, for instance, next week, since I covered Impact last night, I will be covering the Raw show while Rich covers the TNA Impact show. Once they're done, then we're both going to record separate audios for the .NET members, shortly after the show, probably about within a half hour after is when we'll start recording and get those up ASAP. And then the next day, whichever show that I didn't cover live, for instance, next week will be Impact, I'm going to give you guys a recap of that show here on the ad-based version, an all-access version. So I'm going to be doing audios on both shows, but you're going to have to, in order to hear audio on both shows, right afterward, you're going to have to be a .NET member, but I do want to get more audio going here for you guys on iTunes and on .NET, the ad-based version of .NET. So that's kind of the working plan now, so you can look forward to more audio, I think, here on the ad-free version of the site and on iTunes. But at the same time, if you want that, if you want to hear thoughts on both shows and especially get that instant reaction, get that first look at news, and believe me, there's more of it. I even had to hit pause to post more today. There's a lot going on right now, and so this is a great time to sign up for just $5 a month membership. And if you sign up today, obviously that's going to take you through WrestleMania. So no better time than right now to become a .NET member with all this stuff going on. And, I guess I'll leave it at that. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I will, for those of you listening on the ad-based version of the site and on iTunes, I will talk to you next week. For .NET members, get ready for the .NET, first part of the .NET Q&A on Wednesday, part two on Thursday, and the .NET weekly audio show, which I'm sure will be filled with even more news coming up on Friday.